I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
A very sad weekend as two bodies of two brothers were recovered from Utah Lake.
Yeah, Jorge Anika and his brother Manuel Anika, both from West Valley City. And this happened almost exactly 1 year after two girls drowned in that same area, the Knowles area in Saratoga Springs, that section of Utah Lake. And so now people are bringing up the dangers of Utah Lake, especially as more people get ready to head outdoors and play. So here's KSL News Radio's Mark Jackson with the latest information on what happened this weekend.
The two were missing out at Utah Lake, a search Saturday night, then again early Sunday. The bodies found about a mile and a half southeast of the Knowles area around 9:30 Sunday morning. Utah County Sheriff's deputies say pending final cause of death, they did not see any sign of injuries and that the two brothers were wearing life jackets. Cold water temperatures, they say, may have been a factor, but the investigation continues. The brothers had set off for some jet skiing Saturday afternoon, last seen around 7 on the water, but never made it home. Mark Jackson, KSL News Radio.
And Mary, immediately, that's where my mind went. Immediately was life jackets.
Yep.
Because I think that played a role in last year's drowning. But they were wearing life jackets.
And that's what they reported, yes. Both on this jet ski, wearing the life jackets, but that cold water might have played a role. In fact, even, you know, the high winds that picked up, the crazy weather out there on the lake, all of those things that might have kind of been a factor. People commenting on KSL News Radio's Facebook page about there's just unique things about that lake, maybe ways they could have gotten trapped in the little shallow water. All of this, Dave, just adds to I have extreme news anxiety and mom fears both together about letting my kids do anything outdoors, to go play, do anything recreation-wise, just kind of freaks me out.
In just about 5 minutes, we're going to talk to Sergeant Spencer Cannon, who can give us an update of what they've learned, likely updates, and find out more about Utah Lake and what makes this lake in particular so dangerous, or is it any more dangerous than the other reservoirs and lakes around Utah? But we wanted to dive into drownings in general. How often do they occur? Because immediately when we heard about this, you and I both thought the same thing almost immediately as we remembered those two girls last year. Roughly the same time? Was it around the same time?
Yes, it was May 6th that they disappeared. They searched for them for a week, and on May 14th, they found the bodies of those two teenage girls about 8.5 miles away from where they'd entered the water on a life, kind of like a tube or an inner tube. And at that same time, a year ago, they were talking about those same problems about the weather, about the craziness of the lake, and all of those things. It was such a tragedy a year ago, and now it feels like we're feeling that same kind of pain and sadness right now.
In the U.S., there are roughly 3,500 drownings a year. The CDC actually tracks this. That's about 10 per day. 3,500 drownings in a year. In a couple minutes, we're going to go over the top reasons that lead to drowning deaths. And it's more than just life jackets. There's more to it than that, but nearly 80%, this is the number that really shocked me. Nearly 80% of drowning victims are male.
Mm-hmm. I have four boys, and I talk to them all the time before they go on any sort of high adventure trip or, you know, when they used to be with the scouts. I say most people who die are teenage boys and 20 something year old men. And in this case, drowning. It's crazy, that high number.
Yeah. I saw a report from Safe Kids Worldwide. They found out that most children in the U.S. drown in open water. So we're talking about the lakes, rivers, oceans, even the man-made stuff, canals, reservoirs, which we have a lot of reservoirs here in Utah, retention ponds. But open water drownings were the most common drowning, even more than pools, even more than bathtubs. Mm. So it doesn't totally surprise me. Again, you think of pools, oftentimes you're dealing with lifeguards, you're dealing with better supervision. So it doesn't totally surprise me that it's the open water that is the most common location.
And even if you know how to swim and you're a great swimmer and you think I'm fine, it's that open water, the all the things that go into that, the coldness of the water. People are often surprised how cold it is. Other factors, maybe there's been some drinking or, you know, some different things when you jump on in and then you realize I can't handle this. You're cramping up, winds, waves, the fast moving rivers, especially when snow melt comes down the mountains. This does not surprise me that there would be more drownings outside.
In just a few minutes, we're going to talk to Spencer Cannon, Sergeant Spencer Cannon with the Utah County Sheriff's Office, on why Utah Lake specifically can be so dangerous and what to look out for if you're heading that way this summer.
Dave and DeGenevieve.
Over the weekend, the bodies of two brothers were recovered from Utah Lake.
And it's almost exactly 1 year after two girls drowned in that same area. And so now people are bringing up the dangers of that particular lake, especially as more people get ready to head outdoors and play.
Yeah, Mary and I, we're both parents. And as we're getting into the summer season and school's about to close out, more people are going to be hanging out. And we know that now that the mask requirements are going away, vaccinations going up, freedoms, you know, opening up this year, we want to discuss the dangers of some of these areas, but specifically here in Utah Lake and what to look out for if you're planning any outings. Joining us now is Sergeant Spencer Cannon with the Utah County Sheriff's Office. Sergeant Cannon, thank you for joining us. What is the latest information on this? On these two brothers,
both of the bodies were taken to the medical examiner's office for autopsies, and we don't really expect any surprises out of that. We anticipate that it's likely that their cause of death will be determined to have been drowning. But that being said, we don't know if they might have sustained some kind of an injury either before or during their experience on the water. We don't know for sure if there was a mechanical problem with the wave runner. In examining it, there was a battery cable that was disconnected, but we don't know when that happened, if it was while they were riding and it became disabled, or if that happened after they went in the water for whatever reason. We know that there was some wind and that could have contributed to the problem. We believe the two of these men didn't have a lot of experience, at least on this wave runner. We don't know before that, but they'd only been out on this particular wave runner a time or two before they went out Saturday afternoon. And so there's some things that we don't know, and some questions we may not have answers to, but we hope to get a little bit more information to paint the picture a little better after the autopsies are completed.
Sergeant Cannon, I've heard some reports that it was a jet ski. Was it a wave runner? Could you describe what the what it was? Was it a two-person or a three-person wave runner, or were they squeezing on a jet ski?
Yeah, it's actually a wave runner. It's an older model one. It was a 2001. It was a small size. We believe it was about a 150 size. Probably not designed to carry a lot of weight. You know, some of the ones, for example, that we use in our search and rescue operations are 1200s or 1500s, which are designed to carry multiple people and carry them well and tow things if necessary. This was not a particularly large one. It would, in all likelihood, be difficult to stay balanced on it, especially if the water was rough at all. So those are also some things that could have contributed to it, is you know, the number of people on it making it difficult to maintain balance. While it's underway, it might not be as big of an issue, but once they stop for whatever reason, then it could become problematic.
You know, I think about this whole weekend, my heart just went back to a year ago, and your search and rescue crews looking for a week for those two teenage girls at Utah Lake. And it just seems like a common thing to see these kind of tragedies there.
Well, sadly, it is. It seems like just about every year we have at least one or two people who drown on Utah Lake. Priscilla Binkowski and Sophia Hernandez were on May 6th last year, and we We looked for them for 8 days. One of the things that's interesting, and this doesn't happen often, is that these two men did have on life jackets, which we always recommend, but it's illustrative of the fact that sometimes even being properly equipped isn't enough to prevent tragedy when whatever happens, whatever conditions they encountered came up and they weren't able to survive.
I've done a lot of boating. I've done a lot of wave running and skiing, but I've never done it at Utah Lake. Can you describe it for us a little bit? Is it a good place for boating or wave running?
Yeah, absolutely. Utah Lake is a great place to engage in recreation on the water, but it does have some physical features about it that make it unique and in many situations dangerous. Utah Lake is a flat bottom lake and it's very shallow. Even in a full water year, you're going to be maybe 14 feet or so at the deepest area. The Wave Runner was found in just under 7.5 feet of water. And part of the problem that happens, any body of water, when the wind comes up, it can create waves, and it can create very big waves, and the same is true on Utah Lake. But the problem on Utah Lake is that because it's so shallow, those waves get really close together. So, for example, if somebody's trying to go perpendicular to a wave in order to not roll their watercraft over, and they get finished the one wave, and in a lot of areas, you finish the one wave and then you anticipate the next one coming. Well, on Utah Lake, you finish the one wave and you may be coming down right into the face of the next oncoming wave, and it makes it very, very difficult to navigate and make any progress in those kinds of conditions.
Is there any sort of alert system for the lake or a way to warn people, you know, high winds have picked up and these waves are going to be coming quickly together and you should take caution?
You know, I think with all the other normal kinds of things that are recommended, you know, having a life jacket for every person on board and having water and food and sunscreen and all those kinds of things, check the weather forecast. And this applies to anywhere that you engage in water recreation. Check the weather forecast to see what it's going to be. If you haven't checked the weather forecast, look at the skies. And it's one thing if you see some of a few of the white, wispy clouds that really don't typically cause problems. But if you start seeing gray cloud cover covering the whole sky or half of the sky and it's approaching you, get off the lake. You can always engage in recreation another day. As we were leaving yesterday, saw people going out there. We had three more search and rescue calls on Utah Lake after we recovered the bodies of the two men who died. And as we were leaving, and people are still launching their boats, and I'm seeing gray, dark gray clouds coming in, and it's just a recipe for disaster.
What is the average water temperature right now? I know that Utah Lake can get fairly warm. I think it's in the mid-70s. What's it look like right now?
Well, Utah Lake can get in the mid to late summer months. It can get into the low 80s. Yesterday and over the last few days, it's been in the mid 50s. It was 57 degrees yesterday when we get in there. And you think, okay, well, 57 isn't too bad. But until you get in it, the human body loses temperature 24 times faster in water than it does in air. And if you're in 57 degree water, everything in your body is fighting against that, but you can't prevent it when you're surrounded by water.
Wow. And you mentioned just doing even more search and rescues that day. What should people look out for? And you mentioned the clouds, but I mean, how can we avoid more tragedies like this in our, hopefully in any way?
Have an alternate plan for recreation. You know, have your picnic on the shore instead of, I saw one family going out on the lake with a couple of buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken yesterday. And I don't know if they were ones that encountered problem, but they certainly encountered wind and weather. But plan for things, you know, make sure that you tell people where you're going, make sure that your equipment is functioning, make sure that you have Coast Guard approved life jackets for everybody on board. Children, when they're on a boat, are required to wear it on the boat, not just have it there with them. They're required to wear it. Adults can choose to not wear it, but they have to have one. And so just being prepared for those things in that way is critical to do before you ever go out on the water.
Sergeant Spencer Cannon, thank you so much for joining us with the Utah County Sheriff's Office. And Mary, that's the first time I'd heard that there were other search and rescue calls that were not related to these two brothers that passed away.
Yeah, and like we were talking about just in the last segment, I mean, there is a – And I don't want to sound like this super scared mom who doesn't want to do anything ever, because I could get that way. And my husband helps me kind of learn how to have fun safely, where I'm like, nope, we're staying home and watching movies. We still need to point out, like he did, the ways to be prepared, the ways that, yes, you can drown in all these other ways for a variety of reasons outside in Utah. And we really don't want to have to cover these stories this summer.
Yeah, they're heartbreaking stories. And it was the first time I've heard about the waves and why the waves are different in Utah Lake, because I've been up at Bear Lake. That's where I do most of my boating and wave running.
They have their own unique struggles with wind and weather on Bear Lake, too. Yeah. But it's different than Utah Lake.
Because it's so shallow, the way Sergeant Cannon was describing it, because it's so shallow, it actually brings the waves closer. And it's one after another. So when you're trying to ride it on one of those wave runners or in a boat, as soon as you're done with one wave, another one's right on top of you. So it's very difficult to angle your boat or your wave craft in the right direction. And if you lose power, and this is the thing I've learned about wave runners, when you're moving forward and you have a little push behind you, you can stay balanced fairly well. But as soon as you're stopped, then it becomes very unstable and very hard, especially in wavy conditions. Mm. A heartbreaking story, but some great insight from Sergeant Cannon. And the wave alert system, that would be an interesting idea. There isn't a wave alert system currently that I know of. But that might be something that could be very beneficial. So thank you, Sergeant Spencer Cannon, for joining us. All right, coming up next, we've got some cyber attacks to talk about. The Colonial Pipeline, it made me curious. How vulnerable are we here in Utah to attacks like that, and how would it affect us? The Utah Petroleum Association will be on the line in just a few minutes to answer that question.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.